evening, everyone. Am I on? Can you hear me? No. Good evening, everyone. Do y'all want to test yours before we get started? Everybody have a green light?
Mm-hmm.
We are. Sorry, I don't have a green light. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you very much. He's so uptight. I said it
earlier.
It is a couple of minutes after 4, so I'm going to call this meeting of the Jacksonville Ethics Commission to order. I want to apologize up front because everyone in here knows that I have terrible allergies. And it is that time of the year. Pollen is everywhere. Hopefully I'll make it through this meeting without something bad happening, but I'm going to apologize up front for that. This afternoon's meeting, will be a condensed meeting. We have commission members who have to leave around 5, which means that we will likely lose quorum around 5. So we're in a tight time constraint, so we're going to try to get everything that we need to do done within that time period. We're going to focus on the discussion of the pending legislation and any action that we want to take in regards to that legislation. So at this time, I'm going to ask if there are any members who cannot stay until 5 o'clock and have to leave before 5? Nope. Okay. Thank you. We're going to hear from Kirby Overdorfer from the Ethics Office about the pending legislation, and then we'll have about 30 minutes to discuss that legislation. By about 4:30-ish, we need to start discussing if we're going to take any action on a media release that we worked on or that I worked on earlier with the Ethics Office staff. We'll discuss this in more detail when we get to that discussion on the legislation in a few minutes. At this time, I would like to welcome our special guest, Councilmember Carlucci. Welcome here. Thank you for coming. He's been very vocal about his opposition to the personal knowledge requirement and limiting self-initiation of local commission complaints that were approved as amendments to Senate Bill 7014 by the Senate on February 1st of this year. Again, thank you, Councilmember Carlucci, for shedding light on this important matter and for attending our meeting here with us today. We look forward to hearing more from you later. As always, we start our meetings off with a pledge to our flag. So at this time, I would ask that you would stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Quorum is 5, and so we have here today commission members Blank.
Here.
Freiberger.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
Gettinger.
Here.
McCallum.
Here.
And myself, Dixon, in attendance in person. So our quorum is established. William Maul, who's also a commission member, has requested to attend telephonically because he is performing his military service and is out of the state. And as we know, we do have a special circumstance rule. The Ethics Commission today needs to determine whether Mr. Maul's inability to attend the meeting in person constitutes an extraordinary circumstance. If so, he will be permitted to attend the meeting today telephonically and vote while we have a quorum physically present in the room. And for the record, Mr. Maul is on the phone now, but he's unable to speak over the phone because he's in a military meeting and is not able to speak. So at this time, I would open the floor up for discussion on whether or not his circumstance meets an extraordinary exception and he'd be allowed to attend in person.
I make the motion that we accept his military service as an exceptional circumstance which would allow him to appear telephonically.
Second.
Thank you, Judge. It's been moved by Judge McCallum and second by Mr. Freiberger that we allow Mr. Maul to attend the meeting telephonically. Are there any questions about the motion? If not, all in favor, please say yay.
Yay.
Aye.
Are there any opposers? Thank you so much, Mr. Maul. We know that you can hear us. You are, your exception has been accepted by the commission, and so we look forward to your participation in today's meeting. Thank you all. Section 4 of the Ethics Commission Internal Operating Procedures allows a member to attend by phone if we vote on that, which we've just done. So his military duty would be an exception. At this time, I believe that the press release has been passed out to everyone. Does everyone up here have a copy of it?
Yes.
This is the release that's been worked on with the ethics office and myself earlier today. And this is what, pending the outcome of our conversation here, this is what we would like to release. And so we would ask that as we go through this, that you kind of review that. And at this time, I'm gonna ask Kirby to give us an overview of what this is about.
Thank you very much, JJ. Good afternoon, everyone, and Happy New Year. I haven't seen you all since the New Year, I think, so it's nice to see everyone again, and I appreciate you making yourselves available for this important special meeting. So I'm going to try to give you a brief overview of this matter, the Senate Bill 7014. On January 31st, 2024, the Ethics Office learned about amendments filed earlier that afternoon to Senate Bill 7014, that would negatively impact local ethics commissions with two requirements. One, that complaints filed before you would have personal knowledge in order to file the ethics complaint, and two, would prevent you as a local ethics commission to self-initiate a complaint. These changes would drastically undermine the work of the commission by reducing its ability to consider or investigate the vast majority of complaints filed with you. And I'm gonna get into the data that supports that in just a minute. On February 1st, 2024, the next morning, the Senate approved Senate Bill 7014 as amended to include the personal knowledge requirement and also to prevent the local ethics commissions from self-initiating a complaint. This bill, if enacted, would diminish oversight by local ethics commissions, including the Jacksonville Ethics Commission. There's a companion bill in the House of Representatives, House Bill 1597, that is currently pending in the State Affairs Committee for consideration. The current House bill version does not contain the amendments from Senate Bill 7014 that require personal knowledge to file an ethics complaint and prohibit the Ethics Commission to self-initiate a complaint. House Bill 1597 is currently assigned to the State Affairs Committee, and the bill may be amended by the committee as soon as its next anticipated meeting this Wednesday, February 14th. Since the passage of Senate Bill 7014 as amended, the Ethics Office has been diligently working with the executive directors of the various local commissions in Miami-Dade, Naples, Palm Beach County, and Tallahassee to educate House of Representative members about the significant negative impacts of Senate Bill 7014. A letter from these executive directors to the members of the House of Representatives and State Affairs Committee members outlining the damaging impacts of 7014 as amended has been issued today. You all have been provided a copy of the draft letter and the materials for the meeting, and I believe that's under tab four in your notebook. The three reasons articulated for the amendments to Senate Bill 7014, including reducing meritless politically motivated complaints, uniformity with the State Ethics Commission procedures, and forum shopping, simply do not exist in complaints received by the Jacksonville Ethics Commission. To give you some input and some background, from 2015 to 2023, in the last 8 years, 94 total complaints have been filed with this body. Of those, 55 of them were either anonymous or informal. And in other words, the vast majority of your complaints are filed either anonymously or informally, not with a sworn written complaint. Of those 55, you as a body have considered 12 of those 55 for self-initiation and have only self-initiated in 2 of the 55. So this appears to be a solution for which there is no problem, at least in Jacksonville. The most concerning amendment in Senate Bill 7014 is the personal knowledge requirement. It has appropriately been described by statewide ethics experts as the poison pill to ethics commissions because it virtually eliminates the ability to investigate any complaint of any action unless it is either witnessed firsthand or the government official or government employee admits to taking the action to someone else, and that someone else then subsequently files a complaint or someone self-reports a violation against themselves. It is difficult to conceive an ethics law prohibition, including conflicts of interest, misuse of position, and bribery, that could be investigated or enforced if complaints must be based on personal knowledge. The vast majority of complaints received by the Ethics Commission, as I stated before, are anonymous and informal. There's been a lot of discussion about the personal knowledge requirement and that it's merely just eliminating anonymous complaints, but in practice, the effect of that would do so much more to diminish oversight by the commission by barring those complaints at the front door. That was part of the discussion on the Senate floor when the amendment was taken up. There was a question asked to the bill sponsor, are you saying that complaints can't be founded to be in violation based on hearsay, or are you saying they can't come through the front door? And the bill sponsor very clearly said, I'm saying they can't come through the front door. In other words, you couldn't even begin to investigate them.
Thank you, Kirby. Just as a reminder to all of us, I know that you probably know this, but if you look in your binder, tab 1 through 10, they contain all of this information that we are discussing right now. At this time, Councilman Carlucci, if you would like to speak on the subject, we would love to hear from you.
Well, I will keep it very brief. First, I want to thank everybody here that is dedicating your personal time to our great city. And we are a great city, and part of that reason is because of the Jacksonville Ethics Commission and what they represent and what the executive directors have represented both publicly to our city council and sometimes at the state level. There's three words that come to my mind. And I'm going to be brief, and I might be a little hard, but it's just the way I think. Go on, I'll say what I believe. Three words come to my mind with what happened on the Senate floor. Contempt, arrogance, I forgot what the third one was. Those first two, I was thinking, well, I was going to say on the way here, and I guess I forgot that part. But contempt and arrogance, and just a general dislike of anything that has to do with ethics. Unethical. I think it was unethical. That was the third thing. It was unethical the way that they did this. And your chairperson and what I just read made clearly that point, is this was stuck in, no public hearings, no committees. And I've been told this might happen again on the floor of the House. I will see what's going to happen at the committee. But I do want to read something to you, and I will pass it out. You have received a correspondence from me through Kirby. I'm not sure if you've had time to read it, but we're all on the same page here. So I don't see any sense in me preaching to the choir the same thing. But one of my great mentors in life is a gentleman named Bob Rhodes. And Bob Rhodes was recently Donna's interim general counsel. But what a lot of people don't know about Bob Rhodes is that he played a major role in the Florida Commission on Ethics when he was in Tallahassee. He's a brilliant man, and I think he brought to light, and I'm going to pass these out for y'all to read. And I think to save time, I can either read it or just give it to y'all to read, but these are some different takes that he has on why this bill should not become law. And I'll just try to touch on a couple of things. He talks about the commissions like ours are the bulwark against fraud, corruption. And he goes on to say, a conservative tenet has long been to rely on the government closest to the public to address public policy in a manner deemed relevant to elected officials and to preempt local prerogative only when an important state interest is clear and discernible. Y'all are not doing anything that preempts what the state does. So what they're also doing is they're interfering with home rule. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that irritates me mm-hmm. more than when the state, in a negative sort of way, sticks their noses into our home rule and tries to tell us what's best for us. Now, if they got something to say that's constructive, I'll be the first to bend the knee to it. But I hadn't bent my knee to anything they've had lately, I can tell you that. So I'm gonna pass these out because I think as y'all are going about putting any other touches on your resolution, there might be some language in here that would be helpful. I believe my colleague, Councilmember Rory Diamond, may be here, and I hope that he can come and he'll speak to it as well. I appreciate his dedication to the issue of ethics. But I want to say, this is what I think angers me the most. This commission was created in 1992, but over the many years, there have been improvements to it, albeit slowly. That's 30 some odd years, but they've come, and we've got this ethics commission probably has the best set of the best framework and the best charge of duties perhaps of any of the local commissions in the state of Florida. This commission doesn't go on witch hunts. They do things the right way. I've always noticed that, and I'm very proud of that. And the so the Florida Commission on Ethics, which I served on for 5 years, there was a window that opened in 2013 when then House Representative, House Speaker Will Weatherford, who went to our own Jacksonville University, and Don Gates, the Senate President, decided to make ethics and election reform a part of their big agenda. And I was on the Ethics Commission on the state level at that time, and I delivered our package of reforms that we thought would be good. And I'll tell you, they hung them on that bare Christmas tree they had like ornaments. They loved it. And that was the most reform that had been done in 35 years previous to that time back in 2013. So it's hard to get an ethics commission even done. It's hard to put teeth in them because the eventual people that approve it are the elected officials. And now, if the legislature does this, it's like we're on the brink that if they voted to approve this and this went through, all that work's gone for naught. So I have great confidence that y'all will construct the right resolution, deliver it, and if they take it up Wednesday, I'm going to try to go. That's Valentine's Day. It's a little tricky. I got to get back in time, you know, for my wife. But I just thank y'all for what you're doing because Jacksonville's looking to you. The good citizens of Jacksonville who understand the importance of ethics in government are looking to each and every one of you to represent them in Tallahassee. And I know that you will. And Madam Chair Dixon, I thank you for allowing me a little bit of time to speak.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Go get them.
Thank you so much. At this time, I know that we, the commissioners, were given this information a little while ago, and we've had an opportunity to kind of think about it and reflect on it. And I believe that there may be some concerns or comments from some of the commissioners. So at this time, I want to give everyone an opportunity, everyone on the panel, an opportunity to speak on it if you desire. It's not mandatory, but if you're a commissioner and you want to weigh in on this conversation, now would be the time for us as a commission to discuss it and talk about what we think we might want to do about it before we get to whether or not we want to adopt this news release. So I'm not, no particular order if you want to speak.
If I can be heard.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did write my thoughts down because it means so much to me. I want to make sure that I articulate exactly how important I think this issue is. And I appreciate so much, Councilman Carlucci, your continued support and understanding of the vital nature of the Ethics Commission. But our current code allows us to vigorously protect ethical standards for our community while meanwhile protecting the due process rights of the individuals being investigated. And we have adopted due process safeguards and procedures to prevent meritless complaints, We should very strongly oppose the personal knowledge requirement and oppose any efforts to restrict this commission's ability to self-initiate investigations of public corruption. That is critical to our mission, and I think our statement must be the strongest it possibly can, and our actions must be very deliberate to make clear that this would be an incredibly step backward, a step back, as Councilman Carlucci has mentioned. So I offer those comments.
Thank you. After this, we will have public comment on this subject, so I just wanted to put that out there for any of the citizens that would like to speak on it. It would be after this panel.
JJ, if I could weigh in, I'm pretty angry to hear about this. I mean, we're all volunteers. We're not paid for this position. And it's essentially saying all the work that we've done over the years is null and void. And it's deeply disturbing. I thank Mr. Carlucci for coming and speaking. I agree completely with Judge McCollum in her comments, and I think that we need to come up with a strong response, and I would recommend that we add Mr. Carlucci's statement together with Judge McCollum's statement and revise that for a final version of this letter, and I think we should probably authorize you to take a look at that. But I have one more thing to say. I mean, one wonders why Senator Burgess is making this proposal. It smacks of corruption. I mean, to say that we are not going to have any kind of ethics commission that ethics commissions can't self-initiate and they can't report when people don't have direct knowledge. I mean, it's deeply disturbing. And I wonder what's going on. Why is this being proposed now? Why has it been slipped in at the last minute? This is a real problem, and I'm deeply concerned. And I think we need a very, very forceful response.
Thank you. Just for clarification, when you say Mr. Councilman Carlucci's statement, you mean the one that he just presented
yes.
us with?
Okay. Yes.
That the statement that was penned by Mr. Bob Rhodes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. The point of an ethics commission is to provide public trust in their government. So this particular, what I find most concerning is that this really goes to the heart of that particular use case. I mean, that's the whole point of us. And if we don't have the ability to oversee, if the people who are overseeing remove all of the teeth, then it just the action, whether or not anything comes out of this, no matter what happens, the trust in government overall, not just in what the Ethics Commission does or does not, will be undermined. And so I think, I mean, to Councilman Carlucci's point, and also to the point about there's no problem here. Ethics commissions are not blindly opening investigations against people with no cause. So I think I agree with you that we should have a strong response. I agree. What I do really like about this, and one question I have, is whether we should maybe move and emphasize the numbers a little bit more. They're at the bottom and very hard to, and like by the time you get there, they're kind of in the things I might bold them and knock them out, just so that you can really see that this is not a problem that Jacksonville has. Only two investigations have come out of this in the last 8 years. So I think that's an important thing to let people know, that we're not having nuisance investigations, which I think is what they're trying to avoid. I think they're like, oh, somebody could be a political opponent and kick that off. But that's not what's happening, and that, I think, is a really important point to make.
I would just offer a comparison, if you will. So if you take this example of this amendment and apply it to your local police department and make a rule that they can't investigate anything that doesn't have a direct knowledge person reporting it, what happens to crime in your community? And so I think that it's important to understand if you do that, some of these articles and some of the comments that have made, it will raise the bar unrealistically high and prevent ethics commissions around the state from being able to do their jobs and help support ethical governance. And I would hate to see that happen.
And thank you, Mr. Simpson. And as a retired law enforcement officer, that was precisely my thought earlier today, and I thought hard on that. What if in law enforcement there was a rule that said only people with personal knowledge of a crime could present a crime that was investigated? What kind of a society would this be that we live in? So we're on the same thought process with that. Additionally, I want to say that I'm coming back to you. I'm sorry. I heard the law enforcement and I had to speak. But additionally, I want to say that repeatedly we have citizens, one in particular, I won't call her name, but that remind us that we work for them all the time. And they have placed their trust in us to provide oversight in ethical governance. And I think that they look for us to do that. And when our ability to do that is diminished or completely stopped because of some change in a rule or a law where the people that pay us don't have a voice and the people that provide this oversight don't have a voice, to me, in the words of Mr. Freiberger, it is deeply disturbing. Who's making that decision and why? And so I am in agreement with everyone up here that this bill, as amended, it really needs to be, to me, taken back to the drawing board and looked at again. And especially the amendments need to be removed from it. I don't see an issue with the way that ethics commissions, specifically this one here in Jacksonville, functions. And so I just don't understand why that amendment would have come up, especially the way that it came up. So I'm definitely not in favor of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm the new kid, so I have very little to say about the experience in Jacksonville or what Jacksonville may need or not need. What I would offer up is normally I would say, well, what's the best argument on the other side? Or what are we hearing as to the reasons why this amendment was brought forward? Or what's the best argument that we can conceive of as to what this amendment would do? And I haven't heard anything, and I haven't seen anything that is in the least compelling about why the amendment was proposed in the first place. I understand that there could be a desire for uniformity between what city ethics boards do and what perhaps the state commission does. But you can fix that by just removing the amendment, because the state commission doesn't need it either. So I would just ask if anyone has heard of an argument that they thought was a decent argument about what this amendment could do, aside from all of its other consequences that we know about. I'd be interested to hear it so that maybe we could offer a vote.
You know, the one thing that I did read, and there was so many documents to read, but the one thing that stood out in my mind that I did read said that if this bill were to pass, even if an individual was guilty of whatever the allegation was, it could not be pursued because there would be no personal knowledge of the allegation, and that disturbed me as well. But to answer your question, I haven't heard of any good reason.
I mean, this goes to the question of motive. I mean, this bill reads like a bill of rights for politicians who are seeking to violate the ethics code, and that seems to me to be a serious, serious problem. You know, I understand we have to honor the due process rights of those people we investigate, but I believe we do that, as Judge McCallum pointed out earlier, in the documents that govern our functioning, and I think we have a history of doing that. So I think, you know, the question of motive comes up. Why is this bill being proposed? What are people trying to get, you know, put past the public that they think it's so vital to reform ethics commissions statewide? I don't understand the rationale either.
Thank you. Would there be any, Judge?
The only other comment I have is I'm not even going to look at motives, but what the end result is clearly public corruption doesn't happen in a public place. It is public officials. And this has an incredibly chilling effect on anyone wanting to report, anyone wanting to make any kind of report, because then the answer is, are you willing to put your name on an affidavit of what you know is happening, and the person will say, do I want to have a life or a career after this? And the answer would be, no, I'm not going to put my name on that. So it just provides a chilling effect to any knowledge and us finding out about anything that's happening and being able to pursue it. And we don't pursue meritless cases. The numbers show that we don't go on these witch hunts and wild goose chases. And when we do investigate, we actually provide more protection to the people being investigated than they would have if it were just willy-nilly done in the open. So we give them the protection of privacy and due process. So regardless of the motive, the outcome is very negative when it comes to protecting the community. And I agree, we do have people that come here, they trust us. They trust us to do the right thing and to make sure that this community stays on the up and up. And there are watchdogs making sure that people are doing what they're supposed to do. And I think one of the articles said this would turn us from a watchdog to a lapdog, and that's mm-hmm. absolutely true. So I appreciate your guys' support, and we're going to try to do everything we can to ensure that we have that right to still protect our community.
Ms. Miller?
Of course.
I have to say something after 25 years of building this program into one of the best local ethics commissions, I think, in the United States. One of the arguments that choked me a bit was we have to make the local ethics commissions uniform with the state ethics commission. Our state ethics commission is one of the weakest in the United States. It has had one tooth after another pulled out of its enforcement powers. It's weak. It can't self-initiate. They have to sit there and watch things happen. And now the thing, let's make them uniform. Really, the local, like our city council, has voted unanimously to give us the power to self-initiate. And they said, but you have to do due process in making that happen. We came up with all the rules for due process. So we actually have a very strong local ethics commission. To say that we need to be uniform with the state ethics commission, one of the lowest bars that you could possibly get in the United States is tragic.
Were you going to speak, Kirby?
Yes. Okay. There was some information that I thought might be helpful for the newer members of the commission. When Ms. Link advised that she was the new kid, it reminded me I could give a little bit of information. The most consequential issues that this commission has considered, at least since 2015 and probably going back, have all come through anonymous or informal complaints. So I'm thinking about the matter when there were police officers appearing in campaign ads that came through anonymous complaints, when there was, as we call the trip to Atlanta during the JEA scandal that you looked into, that came from anonymous complaints. The two complaints that you did self-initiate were against two former elected officials after a highly publicized traffic stop and some very unfortunate comments that were made during that traffic stop that led to citizens wanting an investigation as to whether there was a misuse of position, which it turned out there was not. So these are the flavor of things that you have looked into in the past that you would no longer be able to look into, even at the front door, if the personal knowledge component passes, or self-initiation for that matter.
Thank you, Kirby.
And Kirby reminded me of a very significant case that we had. A piece of paper was slipped under my door, and it had very specific legal information about something that was going on with travel and in the mayor's office. We would have never found out about that if the little note hadn't been slipped under the door. And that came to the Ethics Commission, and we had a dialogue with the general counsel at the time, who said, oh yes, we've changed the rules on what is considered a gift. Which was, in our opinion, against state ethics laws, and that went to the State Ethics Commission, and it changed all of the gift rules for the city of Jacksonville. And we would not have been able to do that if we hadn't gotten a little slip of paper under my door. Now we would have to rip that up and say, well, never mind. We wouldn't be able to look into it.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from any of the commissioners or anyone from the ethics office? If not, we will open it up for public comment at this time. Remember that you have 3 minutes for your comment. We are specifically addressing this subject that we're talking about, the proposed ethics bill and amendment that is being pushed through the House. It's already passed the Senate. That would pretty much weaken the ability of the local ethics commissions to handle complaints in the way that they do. Okay, so we just have one, Mr. Carney Oliver. Carnell, I'm sorry. Yep, that's right, Carnell Oliver. Okay, Mr. Oliver, before you start, let me get the rest of those. Get my watch going here.
Madam Chair, if I may,
yes, ma'am.
Maybe 2 minutes. You've got
2 minutes.
A lot of public, and you have 20 minutes before your meeting ends.
Okay, let me see if I can get this thing started here.
You want me to do it for you?
It does, would you please?
Yeah.
I'll take right. These.
Okay.
Chair, I'm just going to read from mine. I got some stuff.
Okay. Okay.
I'll give it to you.
All righty. All right, Mr. Oliver, whenever you're ready.
Yes, my name is Colonel Oliver. Address is on file. I'm a strong believer in ethics and things of that nature. And one of the things I truly do, I don't support the Senate version. In the House version, 1597, it doesn't have any of the amendments that was associated with it. There are two different functions. Local level has their own function. State level has their own function. I know that email was circulated among you. One of the things that I would prefer to see is that those amendments that were associated with Senator Burgess be repealed, also specifically with that personal knowledge perspective. But if we're going to talk about uniformity, how about we have a consistent platform of subpoena authority, self-initiation, be in place not only just at the state level, but on local level. If we're going to push things in the right direction, it's got to be a consistent platform, because we're all balanced in a sense and how we make good government work for the people. And I think this is a critical moment right now, because public trust really is not really there. I know personally for me, I'm a personal watchdog for our local elected officials in city council, and they get underneath my skin with a lot of their behaviors. And I really want to hold them to a higher standards. And if we're going to talk about uniformity, let's expand the scope of the Ethics Commission on the state level and also on the local level. And I yield my time on that.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. Appreciate it. I'm going to get back to you, to your recommendation, once we get through the other public comments. Ms. Barnum? Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. I came today because ethics is so very important. And number one, how did they notify the public? We had no idea that this was even going on, and I need to get up to speed, and I'm their boss too. So you pass in stuff that you haven't brought before the general public to give us an opportunity to read, understand, ask questions, or whatever. This is my first hearing of this. And that is what's missing with our government. We have all the laws, we have all the rules, we have everything we need in writing, just no accountability. And this would even make it less accountable. And we already having problems. We're catching it because there is no accountability, and our communities are reaping havoc behind it. And I wanted to come and address you all today dealing with the accountability piece. Get here, I'm thinking one thing, and here is something totally different. It's two sets. The state level and the local level. And they both supposed to be working for we the people. It's for the people, of the people, by the people, we the people, and they work for us. So I ask that you all please go against this. And I will also get questions from the state level about what in the world. Okay. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Barnum. We have one more that I have up here, Ms. Jackson, Tammy Jackson.
That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
I would like to see more accountability.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Mr.
Hello.
Wait a minute, Mr.
Nooney.
We all should have
known. Oh, yeah, there's even more. I am John Philanthropic Resiliency Unit, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. Thank you for allowing me to read from my comments. You know, let me just say, you know, with our charter, you know, our charter's been gutted. And, you know, right in here, you have the commissioners prior to the work last 32 years. Over the last 8 years, two complaints have been out of a possible 55 situations. You know, well, look up mine. You know, I filed a couple of them. So, you know, you got the media here. Go ahead and, you know, just pull up all the examples that you have. You know, I'm wearing my Ashley Moody shirt. And the reason is, because 2017, 160, public participation was removed from the Jacksonville City Council legislative process. And according to Carla, you know, right before you were retiring, you know, it was an interpretation of OGC, Jason Gabriel. And according to Carla, the only one that can restore it is the Attorney General of the State of Florida or the State Attorney of the Fourth Judicial Circuit. So I'm working on that. And we have a new OGC, Mr. Fackler. And as the Ethics Commission, I hope you will create legislation to restore public participation 2017-160 to the Jacksonville City Council Legislative Committee process. You want to restore the public trust? Start with that. And let me just say, too, you know, with the Ethics Commission, real quick, Conrad Markle, he texted me and wished he was here. Conrad Markle, 2014-769, 2015-765. You know, those were pieces of legislation, again, with the Ethics Commission. And instead of strengthening our ethics, it made it weaker here in Duval County, Jacksonville. So, you know, with the charter, you know, like I said, it's been gutted. Check the Charter Revision Commission record. Wyman Duggan put ethics back in the charter. And like I said, 2014-769, 2015-765. Then you had Lindsay Brock was the chair of the Charter Revision Commission. And like I said, I've personally filed ethics complaints. And time is up. You've been great. I'll take any questions. And let's restore the public trust. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. We do appreciate you and all of our, thank you, all of us, all of our citizens who continue to show up and be a part of the process and let your voices be heard. Mr. Oliver, I want to thank you for your suggestions and recommendations. Obviously, we won't have time to get to them today, but we will forward your suggestions and recommendations to our legislative committee and then see where we can go with them from there. Okay? All righty. At this time, commission members, you have that news release that we gave you earlier, and I know that in our conversations we talked about maybe making some changes to that. I'd like for us to have a conversation now about whether we want to leave it as is, if we want to change it, if we want to strike it all and start from scratch. We're open for feedback right now.
If I could reiterate the point I made before, I think it would be wise for us to authorize Chairman Dixon and the ethics staff to revise the news release, perhaps adding some of the points from the Bob Rhodes letter that was submitted to us by Councilman Carlucci, as well as the comments that were made by Judge McCallum earlier. Perhaps including the more salient points of those of her argument, if I could recommend that.
If that's a motion, I would second that.
We can make that a motion.
I don't know if it needs to be a motion or not. But
I mean, I didn't want to preempt other people from discussing it first. That's my thought.
If I could just make a point, from a Sunshine Law perspective, it may be a violation to delegate that to the chair and have her work on it with us outside of the sunshine. So it's best for you all to make your comments and additions here while we're here, rather than have you authorize her to make changes post-meeting.
So you want us to line it here?
Yes, it could potentially raise a violation of the Sunshine Law to delegate that authority to her, because that should be something done in the sunshine in a public meeting.
Couldn't we just say the points that we want included and then let you I'd hate for us to sit here and draft a whole.
Yeah, it's going to be illegible if we all try to write it by committee.
Drafting by committee never works.
Yes. Bob Rhodes wrote an excellent letter that's already been distributed to the President of the Senate and the head of the House of Representatives and to key people in the State Affairs Committee. So that's already had a distribution on its own. So we wouldn't necessarily need to pull from that letter and duplicate that in our, unless there's a point or two that is so important in that letter that you want it to be in our, the Ethics Commission's release. But it's already out there. Everybody already has that letter. And I would suggest that Judge McCall maybe pick out one or two of the points that she made in her excellent statement that maybe aren't encapsulated in the press release so that we can just add if there's anything. We better get this out tonight because we're running out of time to get this to all of the House members.
Right. If I may have a moment.
Okay.
If I can just say a couple of points that I think we should add and then let any of the other members say a couple of points that they want to add and then we give the authority to staff to draft it. Would that be a violation? No. Okay. All right. So I would like to add from Bob Rhodes' email, he has a line towards the end of the second paragraph where he talks about that there's no discernible important state interest involved here. So I think that should be a point that we should add to our, that it's not, I don't necessarily think we need to go into numbers and figures, but to essentially say this is not a problem, that is, it's not fixing a problem, it doesn't exist. There's no state interest. And that this is, his other main point that I think he makes is this is the main method for us to, for he uses the word a bulwark against fraud and corruption in the public sector at a time where faith in the government officials and entities is diminished. So I think that would be the second point from his that I believe we should add in whatever words you want to use. And then a point from my comments that I believe we should add is that how we are so rigorous in our protection of the rights of individuals that are investigated and that we provide incredible due process, we are vigilant to protect their due process rights. That's the third point from my comments that I think we should add to these, to our news release.
So
that's
your,
3 points.
Your third point I think is, it's kind of addressed down there in the second to the last paragraph. Maybe we just need to add a word or two.
However
that make sense?
You want. I don't think that statement makes it as strongly as I feel.
Okay.
So maybe it's just a, maybe we can impose on you to be a little stronger in our language, but the theory, the idea is the same.
Add that I would actually move the second to the last paragraph up to be the third paragraph because I think the point of this is a solution in search of a problem and the mm-hmm. numbers I think you need to make that a little harder. I'm a data driven person in general, so I think moving the data up a little bit would be helpful and hitting the point, you know, emphasizing it. And I really like your opening. I'm sorry, I'm not going to recall it, but the first two lines I thought were incredibly both strong and moving.
So you want me to hand that to you?
I would like to. I thought they were both, as a communications professional, I was like, that is incredible.
Okay, then there you go.
Vigorously protect. That
good.
Was what I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Then also protecting the privacy of the people who are being investigated. I thought the balance there was very nicely
thank
presented.
And not to make it too long, but I thought that his very last paragraph is, to me, that's just essential, that those people who are the enforcers should be at the table. Excuse me. Anyone have any more suggestions?
Do we need a motion to release this?
Can we get, I know Paige, we're asking for a lot.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Well, you already had a motion in a second, which you said was not legal. So do you want to withdraw that motion?
I will withdraw that motion.
Okay, I'm just going to correct the record. Nobody said the motion wasn't legal. There were just concerns pointed out about the Sunshine Law and making sure that you complied with them. So we will restate the motion,
okay,
just so that everyone's clear on it.
All right, so I move that we task the ethics office staff with revising this excellent news release that they've made a draft of, and we add 3 or possibly 4 points. The first point is a second paragraph in the Bob Rhodes letter that was distributed by Councilman Carlucci. The second point is the second to the last sentence of the third paragraph. The third point would be the final paragraph, the point made about the enforcers need to be involved in and at the table, as Chairman Dixon just remarked. And finally, the points that were addressed from Judge McCallum's letter, particularly, and then a fifth point would be to move the penultimate paragraph of the draft to the third paragraph, as Member Gettinger proposed.
The fifth paragraph, move that up to
number three. Yes.
Four.
From five
move
to
that,
three.
Move that from 5 to 3.
Okay.
Does that motion make sense to everyone?
I'll second that.
Alrighty, it's been moved by Mr. Freiberger that we, and second by Mr. Simpson, that we authorize the ethics office staff to revise the news release to include the 5 stated points that I'm not going to restate. are there any questions on the motion? Comments? If not, all in favor, let it be known by your yay.
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 Are there any opposers? You guys got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So once that motion passes, once the staff has done their work, that release will be released. We understand that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so hopefully that will take place sometime this evening. All right. Are there any other comments? We're winding down now. Are there any other comments, announcements? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. Oh, meeting adjourned.
Bye.
Good evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Good job,
Jimmy. For the record, William Hall had to drop off, and I'll let you know when that was.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
I'm going to put these.
Nicely run.
We made it.
Yeah, we made it with 5 minutes to spare, no less.
Bye, Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Thank you for your comments.